T-minus 14. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Clark had been through more than most when it came to the messenger's lights and force fields, from the ear-bleeding sensation inside the area he marked with a makeshift interference detector at Lolo, right through to his nose-breaking collision with an invisible barrier in Richard Walker's farmhouse, and his unsettling immobilization on contact day. Despite it all, though, the totality of an arrival or departure flash still sent his pulse soaring and his alertness levels through the roof. He knew it was just going to be Leisha, back from New York and ready to take Dan and Billy with him next, but the eternal possibility, however small, that it might be another messenger, perhaps less amiable than his pal Leisha, had Clark on edge. He walked towards the kitchen and was relieved to be met by Leisha's gaze long before he got there. He wasn't so hot on the device in Leisha's hand, evidently gathered from the alien mothership hovering covertly over Beijing, but Tara's mind was made up on that, and the selflessness at play in her decision to take the core uplift once again was a big part of why he loved her. If Clark could have done something similar to aid Piper, he would have done it in an instant. Having never been granted the powers, though, he hadn't even thought of it, so he now endeavored simply but full-heartedly to keep doing what he'd been doing all along, keeping her physically safe and sound. Now that it seemed like two people in the house were going to have powers which would make them pariahs to a sizable portion of society and fearsome monsters to others, the role of protector was going to be more important than ever. Tara rushed to Leisha and took hold of the device he was carrying. As she and Dan remembered from a year earlier, the uplifter was really more like two devices, identical in appearance, each quite uncannily resembled a folding compact mirror when closed, one for Tara's fingertips and one for the back of her neck. These dual items also differed from the communications cable in that no part of them had to be physically connected to Leisha. In strict terms, Leisha wasn't really going to grant Tara anything. The two-part device did it all. Recalling her experience on the messenger's craft like it was yesterday, Tara keenly opened the first of the mirror-like objects on her own. Leisha wore an amused smile and opened the other as Tara worked on the first. He used a hand gesture, a pet dog would have understood, to ask her to wait a moment, then showed her with his own hand how important it was to simultaneously place all four of her right hand's fingers and its thumb on the inner surface of the first object. Taking hold of it in her left hand, she performed this first task with very little pain. Emma watched on silently, the pride she felt for her little sister in this moment outscoring even the natural concern flowing through her. Piper had been asleep for several minutes, but was still in her arms, while Clark stood right next to them feeling precisely the same emotions. "Be careful there, darling," Mr. Bird said, a rare interjection reminding some of the others that he was there at all. His voice was as soft as ever, but more than loud enough to reach Tara, who acknowledged it with a smile. The smile wouldn't last long, as she well knew, and when Leisha placed the second object against the back of her neck, it morphed into something more akin to Monk's The Scream. There was no audible scream to accompany this sudden facial contortion, only a harrowing gasp and a clattering sound as the hand-based object fell to the floor. Leisha's reaction, or non-reaction to be more accurate, was the main thing keeping everyone else relatively calm for the few seconds Tara's painful sensation lasted. The pain and all of its symptoms came and went like a flash, leaving Tara standing as though nothing had happened just a few seconds after she looked like she could have been stuck in her anguished pose forever. With a mischievous smile, Tara then wiggled the fingers of her right hand and glanced between Emma and Clark.
"Who wants to give up their secrets first?" she asked.
"I know you're joking," Dan chimed in. "But Tara, it's not a toy. Be careful. When I had the powers on Earth, I lost my memory of a whole day because my brain couldn't handle the exertion. When I was in Honduras talking to that damn Geosaw, Poppy Bradshaw, and especially when I was in Cuba talking to Cole, my head felt like it was going to explode. Don't use it too much. Don't use it at all unless it's for controlled practice or meaningful tests. And Timo, I'm counting on you to make sure those tests are meaningful and responsible, if I'm gone for more than a few days." My word is my bond, Dan, the Italian replied. And you have my word. Make something move, Clark said, challenging Tara with a grin. Jesus, Dan groaned. Clark, did you not hear a word I just said? You were talking about telepathy, not telekinesis, Clark said. I just want to see if it works, man. Chill. Before Dan could reply, probably with a comment about how little reason there was to be chill in their current collective situation, the doorbell cut him off. I bet it's them, Phil Norris hissed. Knowing immediately who Phil meant, Clark lurched towards the door like a man possessed. Tara, meanwhile, took the wise step of physically ushering Leisha back into the relative cover of the kitchen. Stop, Henry McCarthy boomed, calling to his eldest son in a once common tone he hadn't had to use on him for well over a decade. To the surprise of everyone else except Dan and Mr. Bird, the McCarthy's close neighbor of 20-plus years who knew the kind of respect Henry had always commanded, Clark didn't take another step. You're supposed to be in New York, numbskull, Henry continued, pointing to the kitchen in no uncertain terms. Kendrick, Timo, you too, geniuses. Dan and Emma shared a that-was-close look, each having been so caught up in everything that they'd forgotten about the trio's impossibly rapid arrival along with Leisha around an hour earlier. As soon as the living room only contained people whose presence made sense, according to the known physical laws of the universe, and perhaps most importantly, once it only contained people at all, Henry wheeled his chair the rest of the way to the door and pulled it open. Dan, Emma, Tara, Phil, and Mr. Bird watched on in anticipation. As much as Clark wanted to peek, he knew better. Is everything okay in there? A tall, black-suited agent asked. A second, slightly shorter, stood beside him. Everything's always okay in Birchwood, Henry said, knowingly using Phil's line from his encounter with the agent a short while earlier. Is everything okay out there? The agents looked over Henry and all around the room.
Is there something you want?
Tara asked, the tone coming across more petulantly than she intended and earning a stiff elbow in the side from Emma. Well, my partner saw a flash, the tall agent said. Then just a few minutes ago, we both saw one. We've been watching TV, Henry said. The agent made a show of looking around the room again. I don't see a TV.
It's a projector,
Tara interjected sharply, pointing to the wall while walking towards the door despite Emma's leg-based effort to stop her without waking Piper, who remained asleep in her arms.
Why in the hell have you been perving through our windows anyway?
From right behind Henry, Tara then subtly held her right thumb to her middle finger and extended her index finger in the activation position. She was only just able to see outside, to the specific part of the front yard she wanted. While feigning distress at the agent's invasion of privacy, she pointed towards the sprinklers which were currently recessed in the lawn, pulling them up and turning them on through the power of her uplifted mind. She directed the path of the water effortlessly, catching the shorter agent first and then the other once the first stepped aside. A sprinkler on the other side of the men soon followed suit, giving them no way out but to go through the crossing streams. I don't know what you want me to tell you, Henry said to the men. What kind of flash did you think it was? The aliens? Although she didn't outwardly react, Emma appreciated Henry's strategy here. By calling it out himself and stating the idea in such a derisive manner, he robbed the potential accusation of all its power. Splashed and embarrassed, the agents retreated. Once Henry closed the door, Phil Norris hollered in amusement at what he'd just seen and was quickly responsible for a contagious outbreak of laughter. The kitchen emptied of all but Leisha, who remained until Tara went to fetch him. He didn't look amused, and she knew why. Her resulting effort to communicate via her mind failed, however, with Dan reminding her a few moments later that Leisha could not currently communicate with humans without the physical, cable-based connection due to the absence of his own telepathic uplift power. We need to go, Dan said, reading Leisha's expression. Billy, are you ready? Do you have the footage? Timo asked, giving Billy a new question before he could answer Dan's. In my wallet, the archaeologist replied. And Dan, I've been waiting my whole life for a moment like this. Anything I can do to help Piper, I will. But venturing to an alien world has been my dream for as long as I can remember. I can't wait.
Just don't get too used to the place, Billy. His good friend Timo chuckled. We still have some pillars to dig up at a certain Turkish site.
As the two shared their goodbyes, it suddenly dawned on Dan and everyone else that this was really it. He was going to New Kerguelen again to help Leisha in a manner that wasn't particularly clear as a method of finding the help Piper needed for reasons that could hardly have been clearer.
Can I get one of the greater X's from your bag? He asked Phil, who held the bag out immediately.
If they have all different kinds of link-ups and communications methods, I might as well find out for sure if these things are all hype, Dan added, explaining his thought process for the benefit of the confused many.
Just be careful up there, man, Clark said, slapping Dan on the back before quickly turning to Leisha. And I'm counting on you, okay? You kept me alive in Argentina, now him, he added, pointing repeatedly at Dan. He then winked at Leisha.
This brought a reply from the friendly extraterrestrial in the form of his own trademark wink. Emma tried not to cry and surprised herself by just about managing, due in large part to the absolute necessity of what Dan was doing, and also to her unquestioning faith in Leisha's intentions and abilities.
I love you, Dan said, catching her by surprise and bringing a tear or two out after all.
He kissed her first and then Piper, taking care not to wake her.
You can wake her, Emma whispered.
He shook his head.
When she's peaceful like that, let her be peaceful like that, he grinned. I'll be back as soon as I possibly can, and everything will be better.
Tara held her right hand up and out towards Dan, the index finger extended to give the impression that she was reading his mind. He saw that her thumb and middle finger weren't in the activation position, however, which she would need to establish each time she wished to use the ability for at least a few days until she got to grips with it. He shook his head and laughed at her nonsense, which he thought was probably a successful attempt to calm his nerves with levity.
Phil, Mr. Bird, Timo, Dan said. Thanks for everything. And I'll see you all again soon, too. Dad, Clark, help Emma to keep an eye on things until I'm home, okay?
The McCarthy men who were staying behind nodded stoically. Billy then joined Dan, hip to hip, as they took the first of their few short steps towards the alien who was waiting for them at the entrance of the kitchen.
You should probably try to get back before I get too good at this, Tara said, pointing around the room as though deciding what to move next.
Dan raised a hand, thumb up, without turning back around. Clark looked at Emma with the truest smile he'd worn all day.
Something tells me we're gonna need bigger mittens for this one, he deadpanned,
sending several of the others into uproarious laughter as Dan stepped forward and the final flash came forth.